All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Romans chapter 5. We're looking at the subject of justification tonight. That's a big word. We're going to try to understand what it means. We're going through our articles of faith. And the statement in our articles of faith says, "We believe that the great gospel blessing which Christ secures to such as believe in him is justification. That justification includes the pardon of sin, the gift of eternal life on the principles of justification. That it is bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, but solely through faith in the Redeemer's blood. His righteousness is imputed to us." Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be together tonight in your house. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to worship you openly. And Father, tonight as we open your word, as we look at this topic of justification, I pray that you would help us to have a greater understanding of it, but more importantly, that we have a greater understanding of who you are. Because, Father, I believe that as we understand you more, it will impact our lives. And as that has impacted our lives, it will impact the lives of others. So, Father, teach us through your Holy Spirit the truths that we look at tonight. Father, I pray you give me clarity of speech and thought, and you'd help us to honor and glorify you through what is said tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is justification? Well, one commentary puts it this way: it is declared purpose of God to regard and treat those sinners who believe in Jesus Christ as if they had not sinned, on the ground of the merits of the Savior. It is not mere pardon. Pardon is a free forgiveness of past offenses. It has reference to those sins as forgiven and blotted out. Justification has respect to the law and to God's future blessings future dealings with the sinner. It is an act by which God determines to treat him hereafter as righteous, as if he had not sinned. The basis for this is the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, merit that we can plead as if it were our own. He has taken our place and died in our stead. He has met the descending stroke of justice, which would have fallen on our heads if he had not interposed. And so that is justification in a brief description. Justification is a result of trusting Christ as Savior. It distinguishes Christianity as a religion of grace and faith. Okay? When we say the just shall live by faith, or when we say being justified by faith, we are distinguishing ourselves from many other doctrines, many other beliefs, if you will, other religions. Okay? Other religions believe that they're justified by works, justified by doing something else. We are only justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. So let's look tonight, first of all, at the meaning of justification. Justification means we are declared righteous. Justification doesn't make me righteous. Okay? The opposite of justification is condemnation. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Let's look at some verses that talk about the difference between condemnation and justification. Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. Deuteronomy 25:1 says, "If there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked." So we see here in that verse that the person was already righteous. Okay? They justified those who were righteous. They condemned those who were already wicked. Okay? Justification didn't make them righteous. It declared them righteous, and that is what justification does. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 32. Let's go back to verse 31. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 15. It says, he that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. And so we see here the difference between condemnation and justification. Justification is a declaration of righteousness. When someone is declared condemned, that does not make them a criminal. They were already a criminal. Okay, when somebody stands before a judge, when the judge says you are condemned to certain punishment, it wasn't because they are standing before the judge and the judge condemns them. At that point, they're not wicked. Okay, they're already a criminal. The judge is simply declaring them condemned, declaring them a criminal. Okay, they're already so. Same thing with a righteous person. Okay, justification doesn't make them righteous. They were already righteous. So how does that work with salvation? When we're declared righteous or we're declared justified, it's because we have believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Okay. When we receive Christ as our Savior, God sees us through Christ as cleansed from our sin and no longer guilty before Him. And I've always heard this picture as I was growing up, and it sticks with me. Before I receive Christ as my Savior, God looks down at me and He sees my heart full of sin. And He sees me as a sinner, unjustified. But when I receive Christ as my Savior, then Christ is now in my place, ahead of me, between God and me. And God looks at me through Christ's sacrifice, and what does He see? He sees a heart that's been cleansed. He sees a clean heart. He sees a heart that is no longer condemned. And so I've been justified through Christ in the sight of God. And so justification is that declaration of righteousness through Christ. Justification is a judicial act of God, whereby those who put faith in Christ are declared righteous in His eyes and are free from guilt and punishment. But what about the problem in justification? That was a meaning of justification. It's a declaration of righteousness. But what is the problem in justification? And that is, how can God, as a judge of all the earth, declare a sinner righteous? How can He do that? Well, let's look at some verses. Genesis 18, verse 25. Genesis 18:25. So that be far from Jesus. By the way, Abraham is talking to God here on behalf of Lot, who God has told he's going to condemn or he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But Genesis 18:25 says, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous shall be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. It says, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul has just said in verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And verse 8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Look at James chapter 5, verse 9. It says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. So God is the judge. He is the righteous judge. He is a holy judge. So how can God, the judge of all the earth, declare a sinner righteous? The only way that God can declare a sinner righteous is if he makes them righteous. Okay? And that's only done through believing in Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that a person can be declared righteous is by believing in Jesus Christ, and God declares them or justifies them as righteous. Okay? That's the problem. That's not really a problem, because God isn't a problem. Okay? That's how God deals with that supposed dilemma. Look thirdly at the scope of justification. What does justification cover? What does it cover? What does it involve? It deals with the sin and guilt of the believers past and present and establishes them as eternally righteous into the future. Okay, so it deals with sin past, present, and it establishes them for the future. And first of all, we see here the remission of sins, including their guilt and penalty. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. See the remission of sins, or the putting away, the satisfying of that sin debt. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. It says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, or through Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And so we see here that we have that justification covers sins of the past and the present. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then down in verse 33 of chapter 8, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And so we see here that our sins, the sins of the past, sins of the present, are covered in his blood. They're covered, and there we are justified. By believing in Jesus Christ, a person is declared not guilty, and the penalty is removed for their sin. Okay, that tells you a lot about eternal security. When we are justified, we are secure in Christ. What does that mean? When we sin, our sins can be forgiven, okay, through Christ. When we sin as a believer, we can come to God, confess that sin, and it says he will forgive us our sin. Okay, that was all provided at the cross. Okay, so we have that justification for the remission of sin. Secondly, the justification covers the reckoning of Christ's righteousness, or the declaring us righteous, and the restoration of God's favor. You see, when man sinned, he was put out of favor with God. That's why God had to take Adam and Eve and put them out of the garden. But now we see that because we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we have been justified through Christ. Now we are restored to that fellowship, that relationship with God, and restored to God's favor. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. No, I'm sorry. I get that one, another verse messed up. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God declares us righteous because of what Christ has done. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Romans 3:21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And so we see that the righteousness of Christ is reckoned to us when we trust Christ as our Savior. Another one is Philippians 3, verse 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. How does God describe our own righteousness? It's filthy rags in Isaiah 64:6. But we have the righteousness of Christ reckoned to us when we trust Christ as our Savior. This is interesting. I found this as I was studying. There's an arrangement in England whereby the king can, of his royal clemency, pardon a criminal, but he cannot reinstate the man in the position of one who has never broken the law. Okay, in other words, he can pardon him, but he can't say, well, he's never broken the law. To the end of his days, the man will be a pardoned criminal. He will have that tag. He's a pardoned criminal. But the King of Kings not only can forgive, but can clear the offender and reinstate him by regarding him as right in the eyes of the law. Justification covers the past, present, and future. The sin question between the soul and God is forever settled. He may be a disobedient child and therefore need the Father's chastening rod, but he can never be an alien sinner facing the condemnation of the judge. And so a person who trusts Christ as Savior is forever justified. That doesn't mean they can go and do whatever they want, but they're never, again, will be broken from that relationship with God. They're restored to that relationship with God in Christ, and so they can never be broken from that relationship. In Christ Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things. They are made righteous in him. Fourthly, what about the method of justification? How is a man justified? The way that we are justified before God is only a work God can do. God justifies on the ground of mercy and not on merit. If you look at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4, we see that we are not justified because of our moral character. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. It says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Back in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, we read, he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And so people can't say when they come before God, well, you need to justify me because look at how I am. Look at what I do. Look at how I serve. Look at how I do things for others. So I need to be justified. No, God doesn't justify on the basis of our moral character. In order for a man to be justified on the grounds of his moral character, he would have to be perfect. Well, we all fail in that one, don't we? God doesn't justify on the grounds of moral character. He doesn't justify by the works of the law. Romans 3:20 tells us that. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look at Romans 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Look at Galatians 2, verse 16. Galatians 2:16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so we're not justified by the works of the law. The law was given to show us that we are guilty. The law was given to show us our need for Christ and our need to turn to him. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, it says the law is our schoolmaster. The law doesn't save us. The law doesn't justify us. But the law shows us our need for Christ. We are justified, rather, by God. We are justified judicially by God. God is a judge. We've already looked at several verses about that. And only He can justify man. Only He can justify us. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. We read that one already, but let me read it again. Romans 8, 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Okay, God is the one that knows our hearts. God is the one that knows who we are. And God is the one who justifies us based on the fact that we have received Christ as our Savior. We are also justified by grace. Romans 3:24 tells us that. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Men are justified by God judicially. He is a judge. He's the only one who can justify. But we're justified by His grace freely. Freely has the idea of without cause. In other words, I can't do anything of myself to bring that justification. Okay? It's without cause on my part. I am justified because what Christ has done on my behalf. And I simply have to receive that and believe that that is done for me in my place. And if I will do that, I will be justified. And that brings us to the next part of how we're justified, and that is by Christ's death and resurrection. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And then back in chapter 4, verse 25, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. See, Christ's blood provides for our justification. We couldn't have been justified without His blood being shed. His resurrection completes our justification because it means the work that was needed to be done is complete. All the work for redemption is complete. Christ died as a sacrifice, but then He conquered death. It also meant His work was accepted by the Father. And God didn't say, that's not enough. You got to do more. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, God said, this penalty has been paid. And He said, it was satisfied. It was enough. And so we can be justified because of His resurrection. His work was sufficient to satisfy the judgment against us. He conquered death. We are also justified by faith. Again, Romans 3:22 through 26. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so we are justified by faith. Chapter 5, verse 1, we read, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, faith is a channel through which we receive justification. It's by our faith in Jesus Christ that we're saved and by which we are justified. Man is justified not by character, not by conduct, but by the grace of God as a judicial act on the provided grounds of Christ's redemption, as shown by His resurrection. It is appropriated by faith and manifested by works. And so how is a man justified? It's only through Christ. It's none of us, nothing that we can do. We are justified only because of Christ. And then fifthly, we see the results of justification. First of all, we have freedom from incrimination. Freedom from condemnation, chapter 8, verse 1 of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when we sin, which we will do as believers, by the way, when we sin And the accuser of the brethren comes before God and says, ah, see, they did it again. God looks down. He sees us through Christ. He says, those sins are covered. And we are justified. Now, we're not justified in our sin. We still have to confess our sin. But he said, those sins are covered under the blood. And we are free from condemnation of death. We are free from that condemnation of eternal judgment because of we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Second result of justification is peace with God. We saw in chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17, talks about the peace of God because of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. And so we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And then finally we see a result of justification is assurance and realization of future glory. Back in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, God does a work in our hearts to conform us to the image of Christ. And it says in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so one day, those of us who have received Christ our Savior, those of us who have been justified because of Christ, will one day be glorified when God takes us to heaven, gives us a new body, and we are in the presence of God for all eternity. And so justification brings freedom from condemnation, judicial peace, and the hope of future glory. One final thing, what is the proof of justification? How do we know that a person has been justified? We read Romans chapter 4. We talked about how Abraham was not justified by works. Abraham's works didn't justify him. But look at James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now he's not saying that faith and works bring salvation. He said works is a demonstration of our faith. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? He offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And you say it seems to be a conflict here. It seems to be a contradiction here between Romans chapter 4, where it said Abraham was not justified by works. And it says here in verse 24, how that a man by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. What's going on here? Well, we're looking at the topic from two different perspectives. It's just like the Gospels. You have four Gospels. You have four men recording the same events, but everyone's looking at it from a different point of view. Paul is looking at it in Romans chapter 4 from a Godward perspective. showing that justification comes by no works of our own. It's by nothing that we do. James, on the other hand, is looking at it from a manward perspective or a manward side, showing that justification is seen by our works and not by faith alone. So a person can come to you who's living an ungodly lifestyle. They're participating in all the ungodly things of the world, and they say, yeah, I'm a Christian. You say, oh, really? Something doesn't match up here. Your works don't show me that you trusted Christ. So the works show us that a man has been justified. We are justified by faith without works. But the works show that there is faith. It's just like a fruit tree. We have an apple tree in our yard. And that apple tree doesn't die every year and then come back to life and produce leaves and fruit. Okay? The life is already there. The leaves and the fruit show me that there's life. Okay? A fruit tree produces leaves and fruit as evidence of life, but the life was there before they appeared. Okay? The faith was there. The works demonstrate, or the faith show, or the works show our faith. And so what we are in Christ will be seen in what we are before men. And so that's why it's so important for us to be a light to those around us, so that others will see the faith that we have in Jesus Christ and say, there's something different about that person. There's something different about them, and I want to know more about that. And so how are we justified? We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And we are justified by men seeing the works that we do in demonstration of that faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the things that you teach us from your word. And we thank you, as we study your word, we can understand these things more. Father, I pray that each one of us would be a student of the word. We would understand more about you. We would understand more about what you have done on our behalf. We would understand more about how we need to live. And Father, I pray that you would continue to challenge us. You continue to encourage us as we read your word daily, as we meditate upon it. Father, as we go through this week, again, I pray that you would bring us across the paths of those who need to know you as Savior. I pray that we would have the boldness to speak up and to share the gospel with them. Father, even if it's giving them a gospel tract, help us to have the boldness to give that. We may be able to share the gospel with them, and that others will be drawn to you. We thank you for what you will do. Thank you for how you will use us. In Jesus' name, amen.